in Confucius quotes. I mean, we all see how Jalen talks, man. You know? So, I don't know. Anyway, that's the coaching cycle. We'll come back with the rundown. Then Jessica Benson's going to join us at 11:25. Talk Grizzlies and Ja Morant with her. Stick around. J&J, 99.5 ESPN. Welcome back, J&J. Jessica Benson's going to join us in just a little bit. We'll talk to her about the Grizzlies. Interesting developments over in Germany. Let's do the rundown. Yeah, so Ja Morant practiced, and he is over there in Berlin, and obviously these are very important games for the NBA. He has practiced, and you know, Thomas Isolo said that there is a chance he will play in the global games. This is all earlier today from Germany. Here's what's interesting. According to Joe Vardon over at The Athletic, Ja is going to talk to reporters tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Wednesday availability, yes.
He's going to speak tentatively. Now, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he'll opt not to. I guess that's always a possibility. But he is scheduled to do so during a Wednesday availability. And I'd be very interested in just what he says. You know, what kind of approach is he going to take, you know, publicly to this?
Lord knows if he's talked it through with the Grizzlies, I don't know that you can trust he's going to stick to the script. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think if you're the Grizzlies, you're just hoping he doesn't wreck you.
Exactly.
Again, is even more evidence of why you know, you have to move on. You can't trust that you're on the same page.
Up on Kalshi, it's actually a favorite right now that Ja Morant stays with the Grizzlies through the trade deadline. That would be plus 222. The teams that are currently, you know, this is over at Kalshi, that are currently getting, you know, predictions for him. Miami is has the best odds, plus 376. And then Milwaukee is second, plus 566. Sacramento and Minnesota are both plus 733. I guess Brooklyn's in there as well at plus 669. So, I think that is the challenge here is that the Grizzlies have been very adamant that they're not just going to give him away for a discount. You know, mm-hmm. they're gonna want something in return, a young player picks, what have you. You know, are they going to get that? Are they going to get that in return? They're metal and resolve and, you know, supposed commitment to taking this thing through the next 2 years, I think, is going to be put to the test here. Because other teams are like, oh, really?
Right.
You really going to go through that for the next 2 years? Okay. Go ahead. See how that works out for you. What you going to do in the offseason? What you going to do for next season?
Untenable.
You know, you going to just say, Ja's our starting point guard until the contract runs out?
Right.
I mean, so I think that's going to be part of the deal. The Grizzlies are going to have to decide how bad they want to trade him.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And some people think it's the point of no return. Some people think we're already here. And that's very possible. Like, it's very possible that they're just going to have to accept the reality of, because of his money, because of his durability concerns, because of his decline in production, the next team is taking a risk by trading for him. And really, it's not about what they'd have to send out. It's that they'd be on the hook for, you know, I don't know, what was it, $90 million basically?
Yeah.
They're on the hook for, they're taking on $90 million of contract, which could easily, and a guy that's going to want to be extended. Let's just say that. Now, you don't have to extend him. You could tell yourself this two-year tryout, and then you go from there. But
how's he going to act about that if you haven't given him one by the end of the next season?
So that's why this is all for the Grizzlies. Like, there needs to be an acceptance of the reality, which is you're not trading away a player at peak.
Yeah, my guess is you won't get young players and picks. It's going to be like one or the other.
That's right. You may not get either.
A watered down version of both. You might not get either.
Yeah, I mean, because
I don't know about that. I think it's got,
the Hawks didn't get anything.
Hold that man hostage.
But I just think, you know, it's a very awkward situation right now.
Very much so.
We'll see what Ja says tomorrow. And again, I do think, like, I think he's ready to move on. You know, based on everything that's been, you know, that's played out. Yeah. So
it seemed obvious on Sunday when everybody else up celebrating, he's got the hood on, not really a part of things.
Right. So I do think the Grizzlies are going to have to say, listen, we wanted a deal, but the toothpaste is out of the tube now. Can't put it back in. We're just going to have to get what we can as opposed to hold out for something amazing. Cause I just don't.
Well, we've never thought it'd be amazing.
Yeah. I don't know what
never
the baseline is, but you may even have to take back some bad contracts. It may be a situation where you just have to do it, you know? So we'll see, but we'll learn a lot tomorrow, it feels like, about Josh thinking when and if he addresses the media from Berlin tomorrow.
Rich Paul talked to Trista Crick earlier in the show about him and what he said recently, because it involved a Memphis Grizzly. He said that the Los Angeles Lakers, of whom one of his major clients, LeBron James, plays for, should be targeting Jaren Jackson Jr., even with the Grizzlies right now considering trading Ja Morant, should be targeting Jaren Jackson Jr. to give Luka Doncic a sort of anchor-type player. Now, I pushed back on that word anchor, but if you think about what he's saying, it's sort of those bigs, those big types that Luka had on his run, obviously, to the finals when he had the Gaffords, the Livelys. I didn't even throw P.J. Washington that year once they had made the trade in Dallas. And I think that's the kind of player he's talking about Jaren Jackson Jr. being for Luka Doncic going forward. And talked about, you know, maybe initially one scenario is the Lakers should – well, let's just listen. I think we've got the audio here. I don't know that we need to play all 4 minutes of it, but let's – he is pretty resolute on what the Lakers should do.
Now, the Lakers have options. The Lakers, if I was the Lakers, I would probably be targeting the Memphis Grizzlies as a trade partner
for
Jaren Jackson.
Yeah, that'd be a great fit.
I would.
For whom?
Well, that's the thing, because you got to figure out the package. But some way, somehow, I would be trying to get Jaren Jackson, maybe get back G.G. Jackson, Jackson and Jackson Associates, because he's a young player that you can develop, mm-hmm. got good size, can shoot the ball. But I think if you're building around Luka going forward, which they are.
You need a guy like
you
that.
You need that yeah. anchor. And Jaren doesn't want to be a part of a rebuild. They just put Ja Morant on the market, right, saying that they're willing to trade him, et cetera.
It's a great call.
So I think that would be a trade partner for me. Now, the package just goes out is what you have to decide. Because if you're able to trade out expirings and give up the last first round pick you got, that could be one scenario, right? Or you can say, let me withhold that, but this comes with a
Austin Reeves.
This comes with a very unemotional attachment because Austin is beloved, which he should be.
But he's about to get paid.
He's an underdog. And here's the thing. If there's a world where you can do what's best for your team and do what's best for Austin, because Austin deserves to get paid right now. I love him as a Laker. But if that is a situation where we get in balance, because if you put all the money into just the backcourt, And then you're kind of like your flexibility is restricted going forward to fill out the rest of the team. Then that's kind of like riding when you just have the training wheels on your bike, but the one training wheel is off and kind of.
Okay. I think we get it there, especially on that part about you want to put all your money in your backcourt. Is that going to work for LeBron? I mean, keep in mind this is LeBron's agent, and so the idea. And he's right. Austin Reeves deserves to be paid. I'm not sure the Grizzlies would think at this point with Jaren, and especially with as low a return as they could get on Ja, would be willing to take just some expirings and what would it be, a late first-round pick, the Lakers last, for Jaren Jackson. My guess would you would be looking for a guy like Austin Reeves. And hearing you on the Trista Crick part of it, John, when we discussed this with her, it didn't sound like you'd be down. But I think would, at least in the sense, from this sense, the spirit of the thing, mm-hmm. a star player who deserves to be paid
yep.
and who shows up, every single night. And from what we've seen, is a professional
yeah.
night in, night out. And so I'm not mad at it from that standpoint. I actually like it a lot because I don't think it makes sense for the Lakers to pay Austin Reeves when you're already going to, you've got all this money in Doncic. He's right. That's a backcourt, too, that from a defensive standpoint, boy, it is an absolute minus. So what do you think? Would you be against trading Jaren Jackson Jr. for Austin Reeves?
At first glance, I don't love it. And I'm pretty low on Jaren. But I worry so much about Austin Reeves away from LeBron Like I think it's like it's one thing to be somebody that doesn't get the focus when you're with LeBron and Luka, obviously too. That was a more recent thing. I do think he's a bucket generally, but again, I haven't seen. He's like 25 a game. But again, I do think he benefits now. I think he benefits from defensive attention not being on him. He gets the third best defender, right? Maybe second. Whereas if he came to the Grizzlies, he would get the best perimeter defender. Would he still be effective or as effective? That would be my question. But I don't mind. I don't mind starting over. If that's what we're doing here and we're just going to say this era with Jaren and Ja, guys being max players, drafted them in 2000, I'm fine with that. You know, a rebuild.
I guess
that's what it would be.
Yeah.
It would be a rebuild, a retool, whatever you want to call it. I'm fine with that. You know, new style. Would he fit Isolo a little better? Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, 27 points.
Yeah, I mean, he's a bucket. But again, I do think there is a little bit of
shooting 37% from three.
He benefits from the personnel around him, which he won't have with the Grizzlies. He's going to be the number one option. Are you prepared to have Austin Reeves as your number one option?
With going around Zach Edey and getting space and then trying to decide who is whether he's taking the shot or giving it to somebody inside. Here's the thing about that, too. He can knock down a three.
He can.
Ja couldn't.
Ja can't.
I mean, it opens you up. And if you move away from Jaren, you know, moving away from Jaren opens you up to a different way of winning, too. And while I do think he could probably, and for the Lakers, get back to his Defensive Player of the Year form, he ain't been that anchor for us for a while. Frankly, the guy who's been the anchor of your defense was Zach Edey. So I'm just saying, if we're acknowledging that you got to move off Ja and you're probably not going to get much back, then how far are we off saying, frankly, maybe you should tear the whole thing down and rebuild it back in a way like this, where you give yourself some options in terms of finding a new way to win. You're not so dependent on a power forward, a max big, who isn't the walking double-double that most are, and has to have a Zach Edey, Steven Adams-type center next to him to operate at his highest efficiency. You know, you'd be going a different route as opposed to being chained. I know this is self-serving, and Trista was right to bring that up, and I'm glad she did when it's Rich Paul out here talking to Max Kellerman on Max Podcast. Yep. And saying that the Lakers shouldn't pay Austin Reeves even though he's earned it. And have all the money in Austin, because then LeBron doesn't have any other help as they try to maximize here the last deals. I do think there's some truth to maybe this sort of reset isn't enough.
Right.
If we're talking about, okay, now the guy's Jaren Jackson Jr., well, yeah, for some nights that's looked good, but he's also the guy who was getting bodied by Caruso last year in the playoffs and is what, you know, average 15 in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I'm open to it. You know, I'm open to it. But I think there would be questions about.
I mean, he was also in the Olympics or whatever. Not the Olympics, the FIBA.
FIBA, yeah.
He's playing with what, top 10, 12, 15 guys in the world?
Mm-hmm.
And getting those practices and having those guys guarding him and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's had some good defenders
I guess Jaren and Reeves both did.
That's true.
Because Jaren was on that team.
Well, one was more effective than the other.
Right. I don't really remember much about
because he wouldn't rebound. They couldn't play him.
Well, that was a very embarrassing
year. The same year
group we sent. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That was a very unceremonious exit we had with that team.
Grizzlies have looked to get more regional lately, as they've looked to broaden their footprint here regionally.
Yeah, and I think
with Austin,
I mean
Arkansas folks coming.
You're like silver with Europe. You know, you're really trying to expand this thing.
I'm just saying, this is a different kind of box office, isn't it? It's a white man from Arkansas box office, isn't it?
It is. I will say.
Now, I feel guilty about saying that, but it's true.
Well, you know, we love our.
And y'all know how you went Josh Pastner. You went opposite.
Yes.
You went Tubby.
That's right.
This would be a franchise going opposite.
Now, let's be honest. I mean, we all remember the excitement when Austin Nichols committed to Memphis, don't we? I mean, that was like, that hit a little different, okay? When you know, the local kid from Briarcrest chose Memphis over Duke and Auburn. And, like, we could just call it what it is, all right?
Who's a more real one, Austin or Ja?
I mean, a real one in what way?
Chip on the shoulder.
I mean, I do think that Austin, if you're going to trade for a Los Angeles Laker, he's okay to trade for because he is from the area-ish. And so I think I don't usually like trading for the Boston Celtic was a disaster. I think trading for the Laker is fine because he's got, you know, roots in and around the area.
He's already been to Showtime. He's from Arkansas.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he'd be fine. But I have to know what the rest of this is sort of going to look like. You can't just be like, all right, roll the ball out.
Well, we're going to go get Con Knipple, and we're just going to wipe this thing out.
Con Knipple's untradeable.
No, I don't think Charlotte's coming off him.
But, you know, I mean.
What part of Arkansas is Austin Reeves from?
I don't remember. It's like, I think it's mid.
Newark? Is that a place in Arkansas? Does that sound right?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with Newark, Arkansas.
And stopped in Newark, Arkansas.
Independence County. It's like northeast Arkansas. It's not far from here, though. It's probably only a 2.5-3 hour drive would be my guess.
Newark, Arkansas.
Let's see. Newark, Arkansas, distance from Memphis. Because that's probably going to be the first thing.
He was at Cedar Ridge in Newark, high school.
It's only a 2 hour drive.
Bro, they will fill the stands, the newly renovated stands.
Now, the demographics are going to change. In the crowd.
We're used to it for Tiger basketball, ain't we?
Well, there's not anybody in the crowd for those.
Not anymore.
Right.
No, let's be real. Demographics of NBA here are different. Yeah. We get a different crowd, a younger crowd, right. A more diverse crowd for Grizzlies games. That will continue even with the white man from
Arkansas.
No,
you're inviting the whole state of Arkansas over.
We're trying to... we're trying to lock in this lease and keep the attendance up.
Yeah.
This is a way to further cement that.
This is a different kind of box office. You're right.
Y'all can't promise me box office going in this draft. We might miss.
Might. Although I'll be there if they draft Filon. I'll tell you that. I'll get season tickets for that thing.
Put Reeves next to Filon.
Small.
Is anybody playing D?
No.
No.
Does anybody play D now? No.
Jaren doesn't. Edie, we will play D when Edie gets back.
That's right.
I'm not mad at Austin Reeves as a Memphis Grizzly, although it sounds crazy today. We're already here, and we're looking for the next star.
It's somehow fitting that the spiritual successor to Ja Morant would be the man who goes by AR-15.
Well, he's going to have to change that here.
Isn't that his jersey, fool?
Yeah. Call 15.
Call 15.
Don't call 12.
That's right.
He ain't answering.
That's right. I don't know, man. I'm not quite there, but, you know, it's an interesting...
You've always hated him.
I
don't know why.
Maybe
He's
I could learn to
it.
Love him. Maybe I could learn to love
it's
him.
It's a
I don't
real
know.
Chip on the shoulder.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk to Jessica Benson. We'll talk to her about the Grizz situation, John Morant, and more. Stick around. J&J, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Jessica Benson is the host of the Jessica Benson Show on Grind City Media. Catch her on the Grizz Radio Network. Guten Morgen, Jessica.
Guten Morgen. Welcome. I mean, it's the same time that I normally talk to you, but
nothing
I'm at the
different.
End now instead of the beginning.
You're the closer. You know, you're the is that what they call the last pitcher and the closer, right?
Yes, John.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, it's the closer.
You know,
yeah,
baseball,
good job.
Is,
good baseball
is fading
good
from
baseball.
You know, popularity. But we appreciate you being here. Did you try to sneak your way on that Berlin trip? Were you putting in for that?
Oh, absolutely. I was trying hard to get on that Berlin trip, but that's okay. It's all right. I understand there were more important people to go than little old me. But, yeah, I really want to go to Berlin someday. I've been to London. That's where I met my husband. So London is a special place for me. But I hear Berlin's awesome.
I thought you met Chris at the Final Four
minute.
Or something.
London?
No, I met Chris at the Olympics. The 2012
the Olympics.
London Olympics.
The Olympics. Got it. Okay. And then you guys decided. And then you guys have been to every single Final Four since.
We did. We went on a streak. We've ended our Final Four.
NIL and the transfer portal did you in, huh?
Straight. Yeah, just like everybody else, the state of college basketball. Actually, the expenses that came with continuing to go, we were like, you want to know where I'd like to go? Europe. So
yeah.
That's how we changed on that one.
Okay, well, you know, a lot has changed since the last time we spoke. I believe John Morant is, on the block, on the trade block. And we'll see if a deal gets done. I guess just the fact that we've kind of gotten to this point, you know, it feels melancholy. It really does that, you know, at one point this was the hottest young franchise in the young core in the NBA to what it is now. Just what's your position on just where this is and, you know, I guess where it might go in the next few weeks?
Yeah, I think melancholy is such a good word. And, like, no matter what side, and I know there are factions in the city of the people who are just, will be completely and totally devastated if a trade does happen. And there are other people who are like, hey, you know, I'm looking at the availability side of this. I'm tired of this. It's time to look towards a new beginning. But at the end of the day, I would like to think that almost every single person in this city at one point in time had a pretty deep dream that John Morant was going to lead a victory parade here in Memphis someday. Like when we were going through the parade inside my city time period, people were, you know, fantasizing about what that parade route would look like. And there was just so much hope and so much excitement. And we see this in sports often, but it just hits harder when it's your team, when it's your star player, and you add in the element that the city has never had a true superstar like John Morant, and the global impact and the shoe and everything that comes with that. And so you're left in this place where even if you can rationalize, and you certainly can from a business standpoint, how you got to this place, there is still a wistfulness, a melancholia to it all, where you're like, dang, this isn't how it was supposed to go. This isn't how I envisioned this relationship perhaps coming to an end. Now, of course, there's still a sliver of hope or opportunity where maybe it's not the end. I don't know. The next few weeks will tell. This Europe trip creates kind of an odd middle time period where what is going to happen in this next week, you assume that it carries on after this trip, and now all the attention is on, well, will Ja play in Europe? So it doesn't really have any moments of rest, despite us probably not coming to a conclusion immediately. So it allows for all of these feelings and all of these conversations to just remain ongoing. But listen, like when I got the Shams Charania notification on Friday, I was like the rest of most of you, devastated, dagger to the heart. Like even if you say, well, it didn't necessarily surprise you based on context clues and rumors and rumblings, it still felt like a surprise, just that it finally got to that point. And it became a reality.
If the franchise decides, okay, here's the deal, you know, we're going to do a deal, we're going to move on. At this point, Jess, what are sort of your non-negotiables? Again, franchise saying it, not us saying it or whatever else, but in terms of what you need to get back, and I realize some of that's going to be limited with where Ja is in his career and everything else, but what are your non-negotiables? Does it have to be a young player? Would you? Oh no, it's got to be picks first because you need this represents more of a future. What would be your okay? Well, at least get this back.
Right, and this is where I remind everyone for the thousandth time: like I do not speak for the team. I do not have a seat at the table. I don't know anything, but I do look at the way that the Shams Charania tweet was phrased. In the ideation of the Grizzlies, you know, being excited about the promising young players that they have and perhaps Jaren Jackson Jr., he's named in the tweet, and then also being open to continuing with Ja Morant. But of those multiple paths forward, you look at the prioritization of draft picks and young players. Like, it's there in black and white. And that doesn't mean if the right offer came through, if some team sees this bat signal from the Grizzlies of, hey, we're entertaining these conversations for the first time, and some desperate team out there says, man, we really want Ja, and it involves a player who could help the Grizzlies greatly now, they're going to listen to that. But I think it's pretty clear that the main goal is draft picks and young players. And so if the deal does not start with some combination of those things, it's hard to view a deal that is at the top of the priority list for this front office when it comes to the future of this team.
In terms of these, you know, global games themselves, are you particularly interested in them? I mean, it is a, you know, it seems like a big moment for the league, a big moment for Adam Silver. Do you have any particular interest in these games going off in Berlin and the United Kingdom?
So I do, and I'm not sure most, like, do you guys get a general sense that most people think it's cool locally that the Grizzlies are playing a game in Europe from your conversations with people?
No, and remember, we're not getting, just for the 1 year, but you're not getting MLK too, right? And that's the one thing locally that you're missing because of this.
Yes, and that like really struck me this morning when I woke up and the Grizzlies were practicing in Berlin, and you had the first, you know, tweets from the NBA yesterday with Jaren getting there, and I realized I had not had the, oh, this is really cool that the Grizzlies are playing in this game moment, because when the original news came out, it was a little bit marred by not having an MLK Day game and not having the, one of my favorite things of the year is the symposium. Like this time last year, I got to meet Cheryl Miller, which was awesome, and I always enjoy listening to those conversations so much. And so there's the bummer of that mixed with, oh, it's cool that they're going to have this, you know, big stage to face Desmond Bane, but that also means that you're not getting a Desmond Bane return game in Memphis. So mix all that together, kind of hampered it. And then the week leading into this turns into all the attention on Ja. And so I hadn't really been able to sit in the, oh, it's pretty darn cool that the Grizzlies are one of two teams being featured on an international stage with the NBA this year. And as somebody who really enjoys travel and really loves the idea of like the world outside of just the United States of America, I've enjoyed watching both the NFL, the NBA try to get their footprint globally and seeing, you know, I had friends who were in Berlin over the holidays and they went to a bar that was a Jacksonville Jaguars bar in Berlin. And that's crazy. Like the thought that there can be that big of a fan contingency, because that team went over, at least to Europe, a lot to London, over and over and over again. And so for the idea that the brand of not just the Grizzlies, but the brand of Memphis is getting such a big spotlight abroad this week is a positive. So when you get like really down to it, I think it's really cool. And for the Grizzlies to be featured, obviously so much of it ties into Ja and Nike, and that just goes back to the superstardom of Ja. But you take advantage of this opportunity that you have this week.
You mentioned being shocked. I think like we all were when the Grizzlies finally came out and said, you know, hey, we're gonna start looking at some moves or some ways to go with Ja. If they decided it, and that happened, and then they decided we're gonna trade Jaren as well, like Rich Paul and some others, and we realize Rich has got his reasons for it, but Rich Paul or some others are saying that they should still do. Would it shock you more? Just at that point, and particularly with the, you mentioned it, Shams put in the tweet, Grizzlies looking to build around Jaren. Would it shock you more than Ja, or is it a deal where, because now we're at this point, and they're already going to, you know, shop Ja, nothing would surprise you? Which way would you come down on that, if they did?
Yeah, I think at that point, you're looking at the multiple timelines that the Grizzlies were operating under going into the season. And honestly, if you go back, it's when they first traded Desmond Bane. So that was the decision to move away from the big three. And yes, that money cleared up space for you to pay Jaren Jackson Jr. his extension, but it also got you young draft capital too, and the opportunity to get younger players. So I guess it would almost just feel like a next domino to fall. It wouldn't be quite as shocking in the moment.
Yep.
But it would still be, like, when you sit on it, there's no way to get around it. It would be surprising. And it goes back to how you phrased it at the beginning, where just the hope of what this group was when Ja and Jaren were the young pieces and everything around them, and the idea of both of them being all-stars and Jaren being a defensive player of the year and Ja being, you know, most improved player of the year, rookie of the year, both of them kind of symbolizing this new, exciting, competitive era here in Memphis. And if both of them were to go, that would really symbolize that it didn't work, and that would just be a huge disappointment. And then, you know, sports is full of huge disappointments.
Mostly disappointments.
Most of them are in the end.
Yes. Yep. I mean, even watching, you know, this time of year when the NFL playoffs get going or the college football playoff, like, you're just viciously reminded of how true that statement is. Like, most are disappointments. And so that's where, you know, over the weekend, I found myself watching the Eagles lose. They just won the Super Bowl. And now this next year, like, Nick Sirianni's on the chopping block and the vibes are terrible. The Buffalo Bills hadn't won a road playoff game since 1992. These things are, for the most part, disappointing. And it's never fun to grapple with that. And I think that's how most fans will feel. There will be a general shock value to it, a surprise element to it all, just because you were so confident that this was going to be different here.
Well put.
Yeah. Talking to Jessica Benson, Grind City Media, Grizz Radio Network. All right, on to the NFL playoffs. You mentioned them. Josh Allen, legacy drive. Are you rooting for Josh Allen and Haley Steinfeld?
Okay, so Buffalo-Denver games are the hardest for me because they are my two
teams.
Growing up in Denver, I am a Broncos fan.
What a conflict.
My family is a Bills family, and so that's what I grew up under. I want it for Josh Allen so badly. He will either die on that football field trying or will get past the Broncos. I worry about the Broncos coming off rest, being at Mile High, being in Denver with that crowd, with that defense. But, you know, Josh Allen is the best player remaining in the AFC. So if anybody has a chance, it's him. Otherwise, we're going to get one of these teams, whether it be the Texans that we saw last night or the Broncos, but a group that is so reliant on just a great gnarly defense and a, oh no, can this offense actually not mess it up enough to get them through there?
Jessica, are you team Lynn Jones?
Oh my gosh, this is a crazy story. I guess I'm team why did this become such a thing? Mm-hmm. Is what it really comes down to. I mean, I guess if I have to take a side, because that's how we do things in sports media, I am team Lynn Jones, okay, simply because I'm team, we just got to not make these instances as big as this one has become. And I will admit, I think, you know, even like 5 years ago, I might have been one of the people who kind of steps on the soapbox, and I was young in my career and waving my degree in broadcast and digital journalism from a flag post saying, like, this is how we do the craft, this is how we take it seriously. But, you know, if you're a journalist, you're supposed to be curious and evolving, and you have to look at the media landscape for what it is, and it's changed so much. And she's been around for so long, yep, and the idea of the journalism communities that exist, I think about our journalism community here in Memphis, and, you know, it wouldn't be totally out of the norm where if there was a really great season capped off by disappointment, someone might make sure that a coach or a player knows that the city is still behind them. And we always talk about mental health and emotions. And so this one moment of humanity, I don't think had to be turned into this indictment of, yeah, this was not the time and place. But I also get, I wish that we could have the full nuance where I also understand from the journalism side, like, you want your job to continue to be taken seriously. You want it to mean something. We have seen the degradation of journalism, not just in sports, but across the board in this country. So it's complicated. But, man, she was just being nice. She just saw somebody struggling and was just trying to do something nice. So,
that's all.
Yeah, what a wild story to be the main character out of an amazing wild card weekend.
We said during the first hour that Bennett needs to do that for Tuomas Iisalo, that he needs to sit in the press conference and tell him, you the one.
Lift your head.
Doesn't Iisalo need it? I mean, I think Iisalo probably needs it more than Liam Cohen.
Doesn't sound like Roser's going to do it. So yeah,
a little head nod of help. Like, man, we know it's tough. We see the injury report. We know this isn't how it was supposed to look.
No, Jessica. There. You just say you the one. You the one. All right. We're not
901. You the one.
901. You the one.
901. You the one. It rhymes.
Yeah. And can you
remember?
And somebody needs to do it for Penny as well. Because Parth is not going to do it. Parth is trying to get down to the bottom of it. You know, he's trying to really see what's ailing this team. So we need somebody to do that for Penny.
It's ailing this city right now. It's a lot of tough sports conversations in this city.
It's definitely the worst year for Memphis sports we took over
for the hoops
on our show in 2016. Yeah. It's definitely the worst year for both in a decade, I would say.
I mean, I like, truly, you're looking at two of the most influential and important sports figures in this city's history, both in moments of crisis, both with the Grizzlies and with the Tigers. And you don't want to conflate the two because they're not the same situations by any means. But in terms of just people who are really important to the city of Memphis, it adds a layer to all of this. So yeah, sure, like, national media heads can talk about it from a business standpoint and an X's and O's and a results-driven side of things. But at the end of the day, like, if you're in Memphis, you understand what these two people mean to the city, and it makes it all that harder.
Absolutely. Jessica, you're the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You're
the one. Thanks, guys. Have a good week.
You're the one.
Jessica Benson, Grind City Media. There's a piece up at Yahoo from NBA writer Kelly Eco. I think he used to be at The Athletic, mm-hmm, and he has moved over to Yahoo, where he writes about sort of the backdrop of the situation in in Memphis. And he talked in it, because there hasn't been a lot of it, right? There hasn't been a lot of, like, reporting about. There's been a lot of, like, people talking about it on a podcast, but there hasn't been that, like, you know, quintessential written piece. And there's a couple things in here that I do want to pass along. He writes, there's also the issue of internal order of operations as it pertains to the roster. In an ideal world, Morant, as the quarterback with a new offensive coordinator, would be the Grizzlies' emotional leader on and off the floor.
But since his multiple suspensions in Memphis, a point of contention between Morant and management, sources say, Jaren Jackson Jr. has emerged as the go-to voice, and Morant's relationship with the organization has never been the same. So I think we could all probably just use our common sense and deduce that.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously this is a national NBA reporter, you know, talking about the relationship being strained as well.
I don't know if you saw it, but in the Grizzlies, looked like the video, it was Jaren, not Ja. And in the, I think on the next ticket thing I saw, it looked like Jaren as the front guy and maybe Cedric Howard and some of the other guys, not Ja.
Mm-hmm.
So I, back to that question we asked, I think I, even though you got people like Rich Paul and others saying that the Grizzlies should look at, I would be shocked at this point. It feels like because he's come to work, because they know they can trust him, because he just played through illness the other day, they're fine with what Jaren doesn't bring, the flaws in his game because of the professional they get, and more importantly, the professional they can trust.
Yep.
Right. They know his shortcomings. They've you know, you got to have the center next to him. But what you also know is that for the most part, he's going to be out there. And so it would not surprise me at all if that's the, you know, he is now the voice. It certainly seems to be what they're selling and pushing.
Yes.
As they make this transition.
A couple other things from this piece. He writes, Kelly Eco from Yahoo writes that Minnesota made a number of inquiries to Memphis about Morant in the early parts of the season, with Miami also monitoring the situation as well, given the absence of Terry Rozier. But financial flexibility is limited around the league, especially with playoff hopefuls, putting Morant's $40 million owed this season and $86 over the next 2 years as a sizable roadblock. For example, a combination of Naj Reid, who can't be traded until January 15th, Mike Conley, Rob Dillingham, and Terrence Shannon Jr. works under the CBA, but are the Wolves, a first-apron team, a better group having gutted their depth for an off-injured
guard?
Leaves
them too thin. Leaves them too thin to be
paying
that much
money. No way they would do that.
Exactly. That's what we talked about. And I told you Naj had to be part of it because of the money.
Yeah, there's no way they're sending away Naj Reid, Rob Dillingham, and Terrence Shannon Jr. For, for John Morant. Absolutely no chance.
Leaves them too thin.
Yeah.
But that leaves them Dante, at least in some of the other deals.
It does.
DiVincenzo coming here.
It does.
You've dumped off two. Conley's giving you nothing.
Right.
And they gave away the guy they hoped Dillingham would be soon be
correct.
The new Mike Conley.
Right.
In that scenario.
He also mentions Toronto, which is currently 8 games over .500 and fourth in the East. Emmanuel Quickley. RJ Barrett making a combined $60 million.
This goes back to what we were asking. Does the control, John, I asked you this question, does the control help you or hurt you? In this case, the 2 years and having to pay the 2 years, at least
you.
In Minnesota's case, it hurts them.
It does.
Not going to do it because of that.
It absolutely hurts because nobody wants to sign up to do that. Like
not and be left that thin and correct. Then be up against it apron-wise.
That's what I'm saying. Like the Grizzlies are just going to have to get to a place where they are willing to accept less than what they wanted.
Because it's not going to be one of these contenders. Or
that happens.
A Houston or somebody that's going to actually, you know.
Right.
I don't think they think it's worth it with what's left. Actually, they look at it as dangerous. It kills our flexibility for the 2 years that he's here.
Exactly. So, and then look, there are other, like Kevin O'Connor from, everybody works for Yahoo now. Like Yahoo has come back with a vengeance, man. But Kevin O'Connor wrote, like some hypothetical trades. I'll just throw these at you here while we're on it. Kings get Ja Morant. Grizzlies get DeMar DeRozan, Devin Carter, Dario Saric, and 2 first-round swaps. That's nothing. That's nothing.
The first-round swaps could be significant,
could
right?
Be.
Based on where they are right now?
Yeah. So, but I mean, again, that's something that you only do if you're the Grizzlies, if you're just wanting to get away from Ja. That's it.
Well, aren't you there now? That's what I say. Can you,
might be.
Can you bring him back?
Might be.
I don't think so.
Suns. Suns get Ja, Grizzlies get Jalen Green in a 2032 first-round pick swap.
Give me more. We may revisit this.
Raptors get Ja, Grizzlies get Emmanuel Quickly, Grady Dick, 1 first-round swap.
Mm.
I'd do it. 2 young players and a first-round pick swap. Grady Dick, shooter, lottery pick. I'd give it a shot.
Yeah, I actually like Quickly. I don't know how much he's played. Has he played full slate this year? No injury issues?
I haven't
checked
so.
On him
I think
lately.
So, Emmanuel. Mostly.
Yeah. Not mad at that deal.
Yeah. Bucks get Ja Morant. Grizzlies get Kyle Kuzma, Bobby Portis, 2 first-round pick swaps.
No Ryan Rollins.
Not getting Ryan Rollins.
Need him in that deal.
You're getting Bobby Portis, who'll contribute. You're not
he
a Bobby Portis
contribute
guy.
For this loser. He ain't even going to be intense because he's not in, probably somewhere he don't want to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're only doing that deal if you're Milwaukee, if you're sure Giannis ain't leaving. I guess, you know, he says he's not. But, I mean, that's not a great haul by any stretch of the imagination for the Grizz. Miami, Heat get Ja Morant. Grizzlies get Terry Rozier, Simon Fontecchio, and two first-round pick swaps. Terry Rozier is likely banned from the NBA.
I was going to say, I like that the other deal better with the
Fontecchio is like a shooter and, you know, two first-round pick swaps again. This is like, all right, we're just having to get off of Ja here because we have no choice.
Yeah, I think that's where you're going to be, man.
And then Wolves. Wolves get Ja Morant, Jock Landale, Scottie Pippen, Vincent Williams. This is a big one. This is a big trade. Grizz get Naj Reid, Dante DiVincenzo, Mike Conley, Joan Berenger, and a 2032 swap. I mean, that actually makes sense for both teams, whereas, you know, your Grizzlies, are, you know, the Wolves are sending some depth out, but they're getting some back with Jock and Scottie Pippen and Vince Williams.
They would need that depth, I mean,
yeah,
to make this worthwhile. For
I mean, that would make sense.
Where they're going to be.
If you want to do that. Naj Reid, you know. And again, that's probably the best package I've seen because Nas and Dante DiVincenzo are credible players. I think Joan Berenger is a rookie. They just drafted him, right, this year. So, a young player, you know. I don't know if he's going to be anything, but he did just get drafted.
Yeah, pick 17. If it just busted,
yeah,
and went bad.
Yeah. So, anyway, those are some potential trades, and that's going to be a good baseline and barometer of what to expect if Ja gets traded. None of those are going to excite anybody.
My Bulls ain't interested, huh?
No. And I do think when and if this deal does go down, people are going to get mad all over again because they're going to realize that the return is nothing.
Oh, yeah, and then all the anger will be pointed at Zach Lima.
Yes, it will. So that will come. There's no doubt. But for now, we're kind of in a holding pattern. All right, we'll come back, wrap this up on a Tuesday. J&J, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Hey, it's Tuesday night in the NBA. On NBC, you got Spurs OKC round 4.
Yeah, that's what this will be.
Wimby out? Got to be, right? Or is he in? Maybe. I don't know.
He's back. I didn't know he's back out. I thought he's back.
All right. Well, the Thunder are 8.5-point favorites. So that's why I'm like, I mean, maybe it's. Well,
they've knocked off the Spurs. They've been knocked off 3 times. So it's probably a lot of that, too, right?
No, I guess Wimby is in.
They're relatively healthy. It's going to be about putting the Spurs back in their place, I guess.
This is like the biggest game of their season to date at home. You know, they lost on, what was it, Christmas? So, got to get this one if you're the Oklahoma City Thunder, I suppose. But we'll see. I think it's just a terrible matchup for them. I don't know if the Spurs will win, but it feels like they have a path to staying within 8.5. I don't know. I don't really handicap NBA like that, but it did kind of catch my eye that they were still an 8.5-point underdog. So you got that one tonight in the NBA. And then you got Portland and Golden State as the second part of that doubleheader on NBC tonight. So I like the NBC presentation. I'm a big fan of it.
Yeah, it's good to have it back.
It feels big. It feels, you know.
Yeah.
People thought when Inside the NBA and TNT went away that it was like it was going to be this void, and I don't find myself thinking about that show at all anymore. I don't miss it at all.
I don't either.
You know? And
we still get a version of it on ESPN.
We get a version of it, but
I haven't watched it.
I haven't seen a minute of it.
I haven't watched it either.
Yeah.
To your point.
So
I love having something big on Tuesday nights, though,
yes,
sports-wise.
Yes.
With the way, and the NBC presentation has been that.
And it does feel like the big players take those games more seriously because they are on national television. Not ESPN, but like local, over the air, you know? I could be wrong on that, but it feels like those games are always more competitive. It's going to do it for us today. Thanks, of course, to Trista Crick for joining us. Thanks to Jessica Benson as well. Jeffrey and Company up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.